It's time for the Bobby Bones Post Show. Here's your host, Bobby Bones.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Top three songs in country music right now. Number three is Dustin Lynch and Mackenzie Porter. Thinking About You. That's not it. Although, let me say this. Some of the garbage that ends up on this list sometimes sounds about like that song. Okay, turn that up, Ray. Number two, Zac Brown Band, Same Boat.
We're all in the same boat, fishing in the same hole.
And number one, Luke Combs, Cold As You.
Whiskey River on the jukebox, a honky tonk sawdust dance floor, a neon 5 o'clock road clock, and plenty damn many when you want one more. This broke heart fool on an old bar stool, drinking beer almost as cold as you.
He sings violently in that song, doesn't he? Just goes to town. Luke Combs is... His songs are so good, and they move the charts up the charts so fast, you don't even have time with them before they're number one and gone again. You know what I mean?
I know. That one came quick.
And if the chart was indicative of what was really happening, that song would probably be like a 6 or 7 week number one, and Walker Hayes would have been like a 6 or 7 week number one. That would have been the only two number one songs for like 3 months. But hey, whatever. I don't give a crap anymore. Everybody can just live their freaking life, and I don't care. And suck it. How about that? That's how I feel about it.
Jeez.
Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What? And suck
it's
it.
Just, yeah, and suck it. That's what I say. Let's see. What else? I say in the best way, though, like Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Sure.
Kind suck it.
Sure.
Yeah. Looks like Kim Kardashian left a hickey on Pete Davidson's neck.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome. Good for that dude.
That's what I say. Good for that dude.
I mean, hickeys are so cool, though.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they really are.
No, I'm like,
just also not a. I'm not a hater of Pete Davidson at all. Like, go, like, live out every guy's dream. Like, you're a funny, nerdy dude who every chick wants now. That's awesome. Like, thumbs up, two thumbs up for me, and suck it. I just say it now with any story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see here. Thanksgiving foods to avoid feeding your pets. Number one, alcohol.
I never understood that. I never understood giving your pet alcohol. I just don't get that.
Probably just funny to people more than it is thinking you're actually doing something for your pet. Number two, bones, because they can actually choke on it. Number three, chocolate. Well, that's any time, not even Thanksgiving. Citrus, coconut oil, grapes. Oh, grapes, their kidneys will explode.
Wow. Yeah.
Like if your dog swallows a grape, get him to the freaking doctor. And tell that doctor, suck it.
Oh, suck it out, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's that. I just have a lot of stories here. Kourtney Kardashian shares her over-the-top 2021 holiday gift guide. The list had 51 items in total. The highest-priced item was a $15,000 stainless steel tempered glass football table from the brand Tekel. Is it a foosball table? Football? Oh, foosball. Okay, it's just foosball. It's not football. Okay. My brain saw foo and ball, didn't even look at the S. My mind's blown right now.
Foosball.
Yeah. I mean, it says it right in front of my face, but my brain just went foo and ball, so it's got to be football. The second most expensive item was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you and six guests to indulge in a culinary experience from Chef Jan Nuri for $12,000.
Mm.
Oof.
Who's that?
I don't care. Six guests, $12,000? What are you going to be eating?
I mean, is she going to be there
Golden-
with you?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, dang it, not worth it.
$5,000 plant subscription from Takata Nursery, a small greenhouse. An art book that costs $3,500 from Annie Leibovitz. A book, $3,500. Wow. A $2,700 Bottega purse. A $1,230 St. Laurent Polaroid camera. A $715 cashmere sweater. If you want to see this list, it's up at Daily Mail. You can look at it. I don't think you're going to be buying anything from it. They had some items under $50. Including a $19 board game and a $45 journal.
Who's picking this stuff? Is she picking them or just put her
probably.
Name on it?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
Armpit tattoos are on the rise. Ow. people are now getting tattoos in their armpits so it can be concealed easily. That also,
but like, why?
That would be miserable.
Yes,
that would be miserable.
No.
It's not a very attractive place of the body. I don't want to look in someone's armpit ever for any reason. Mm-hmm. And secondly, that would just hurt so bad. What were you going to say, Amy?
Well, I mean, years ago I was at yoga and this girl lifted up her arms and she had two cupcakes, on one under each armpit. And her
That's
underarm.
Funny.
No, I was like, why? I didn't understand. It just didn't make sense to me.
You didn't understand the armpit or the cupcake?
The cupcake in the underarm. Like, I just thought, ow, that's painful. And then maybe it's just for that reason. So when she lifts up her arm, she's like, surprise. Cupcake.
From Fox News, do you guys want to hear the story about the Brian Laundrie autopsy or no?
I mean, if you want.
I already know about it. So.
Do you know what he did? Shot himself in the head?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where
did you guys know
been.
That?
I didn't know any of this happens. This is all news to me.
Yeah. Shot himself in the head. Peace out, homie.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, so they're never going to know what happened, huh? That journal is not going to be readable, right?
I don't think so. It was in the water.
Oh, that guy.
And probably.
Oh, I knew who he was. Why did I just think you were talking about the guy from the Netflix documentary, The Making of Murder?
Tiger King?
Or what was that show?
Stephen Avery?
Yeah, I just thought.
He just asked for appeal, and they said no again. Did you guys see that?
Again,
did they really?
Yeah, I think so. I think they just went to court, and the judge, in the last 5 days, and the judge was like, nah.
Wow.
I can't believe
that. They must know something we don't know. That documentary must be slanted in a way.
Mm-hmm. But when that Chicago attorney gets involved, I just believe. Like, she is, if you watch her, she's amazing, and I'm like, she doesn't take nothing that she doesn't really believe is innocent. And so I tend to believe that she is real, and he might be innocent.
I mean, and our justice system is flawed.
No way.
Yeah.
Mike, what's the story say? Did you find it?
Yeah, they rejected it again.
I wonder why. Huh. I mean, he is consistently rejected.
Hmm.
They got to know something that we don't know.
But they also do make it, don't they also make it harder for you? Once you're convicted, it's like you have to come up with something new. You can't say, oh, no, that was not right. I mean, they make it really hard if I watch it. When
well,
I watch the documentary.
You got to find either something that happened in the trial that was done wrong, even if it's, you know, something technical, a lie, or you have to have new evidence. It's one of the two things, because you can't just go, I don't like that. I don't like what the jury said. So yes, but you have to find something that was to somehow proved you were wronged.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's tough.
Let's see. I didn't mention this yesterday. I should have. But Iman Shumpert won Dancing with the Stars, basketball player, first ever NBA player to win it. JoJo Siwa came in second. Cody Rigsby, the Peloton guy, came in third, and Amanda Klutz was fourth. Shumpert was the only competitor who didn't have, this is what the story says. Shumpert was the only competitor who didn't have dance experience and was considered to be the underdog, similar to previous winner radio and TV personality Bobby Bones.
Hmm.
Would you like to hear Amy's reaction from when I won, when she was sitting in the crowd? Here we go.
Bobby!
I wasn't supposed to be filming either. I was a rebel.
I know. It's crazy. That's crazy. Did you have a question about that, Amy?
Which one?
About the Iman Shumpert winning.
No, I didn't.
You did not.
No.
It said Amy has a question about what was. Question eight. What was like? Okay, got it. Never mind. Here's a story. Iman Shumpert made $295,000. That's how much you make on Dancing with the Stars, according to Just Jared.
Oh, yeah.
Contestants aren't...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, so he made how much?
He made $295,000. I'll lay it out for you
guys. Has it gone up?
No, same. Dang. Yeah, that's what I made when I did it. What happens is, the first week you win no money. First of all, they give you $125,000 to go on the show. Everybody, even money for every person going on the show. The first week you get no money for... moving on. The second week, I think like weeks 2 and 3, you get $10,000 if you make it. Then it starts to go up to $25,000 a week. Then the last 2 weeks, I believe, are $50,000 weeks. So people are just trying to get in that last episode for the money, even if they know they can't win. So it's the same. They pay you the same. But good for him. If he had no dance experience, that's awesome. But yeah, that's how much you make. Thoughts on that, Amy?
I mean, I'm very happy for him. And you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It just feels that it's like, it's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money, but for every, all the work and the stress and like all that training, like people sit on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and like they can be a millionaire for answering 20 questions or whatever. I feel like it's not that much.
It is that much.
Really?
It's that much.
Oh, yeah, man.
295.
I mean, four months, Eddie? And like, having fun.
I remember going seeing Bones, well, and
I'm not having fun.
It's fun. Are you kidding me? That's an experience of a lifetime.
Absolutely it was.
Yes, yeah, so
absolutely.
Fun.
Experience of a lifetime. But while I was doing it, and I was doing that show, dancing, training, 12 hours a day, doing this show, and touring, I was dead. I've never been as dead.
Well, just a little bit of fun.
Yeah, oh, it was awesome. Okay, like when it was over, it was the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like career-wise, that was like exciting and extra. That's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nightmare while doing it because I was just so stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Mostly I was just stressed out trying to get everything done.
Yeah.
And I was a terrible dancer.
Yeah, so it was extra hard. It was extra hard for you. Okay, I get that makes sense.
I think I've alluded to this and maybe mentioned it quickly, but when I was doing that show, well, they give you an amount of time that you can dance officially. They can train. You can't overtrain on that show because they put rules out and they're like, you can't train, I think, more than 6 or 7 hours a day. But what I would do is I would go rent a studio by myself, take videos of Sharna and I practicing, and then I would train for 4 or 5 more hours by myself. Because they couldn't regulate, at free will, they couldn't regulate me going by myself and renting a studio.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. And I would get like an hour sleep on a couch and then go do the radio show. I was dead, but I was determined to win that freaking show.
Oh, I never knew
Mike
that.
Mike D was living with me.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Amy?
I don't know that I knew that. That you were.
Yeah, it was against the rules. Yeah, it was definitely against the rules. But they can suck it. Because here's the thing.
Them too.
No. They want to limit people from killing themselves, but I was so bad I had to kill myself to just kind of get competitive. So that's what I did. I just outworked everybody. And I would hear people talking about, we worked so hard. We did 4 hours today. You know what I said to them?
Suck it.
Yeah.
Just a guess. Right. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It feels a little bit about what's happening. Not the same exactly, but Mike, we have... a similar taste right now.
Yeah.
It's very
similar.
And I can't really say what's going on, but we have a similar taste right now. Mike and I look at each other and we're like, it kind of feels like Dancing with the Stars right now, what we're doing. Not what we're doing, but just being away from home, living somewhere else, living in a hotel. But yeah, good for Ramon Shumpert. That's pretty cool. I want to actually, Amy should talk about this. Amy's sister will have a show on HGTV, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's not premiering till April, but HGTV did a sneak peek this week. So, they aired the full pilot episode. So it's an hour long show. And I had no idea what to expect because, I hadn't seen anything. And my sister has been so nervous about this thing because she's just not the type of personality that wants to be on TV, but she's doing it because it's like it is stretching her and she's growing, and they do have a successful business and they are good at what they do, and they found my sister's husband a few years ago on Instagram. And I remember, Bobby, they called you and they're like, what do we do? HGTV, or it wasn't even HGTV at the moment, it was a production company wanted to do a show around them, and then they pitched it to different networks and HGTV picked it up. But yeah, remember you talked to them like 2 years ago, and now it's finally happened. But it's called Building Roots, and it's their design business, and it follows them from like each episode shows the house before, and they go in and they renovate it and do their thing, and then the homeowners come home and they do the big reveal. And I don't know, my sister did so good in the sneak peek, so I'm excited for them. Small little mountain town in Colorado, Pagosa Springs, and I just couldn't help but think the whole time I was watching it just how proud my mom and dad would be of my sister. And she said, my sister said that something about, she found out that the show was going to be picked up like right around when my dad died earlier this year, because they filmed the pilot and they didn't know it was going to happen. And then she didn't know, honestly, if she could even do something like this. And that it's just an encouragement to people that like sometimes when you face adversity or you go through something hard or like lose someone special to you, it kind of just makes you realize like, you know, opportunities come your way and you've got one life to live. And it kind of gave her that courage she needed to just go for it and do it. And so it was just really special watching her do her thing.
That's awesome. I do remember that calling going, don't take anything less than $1 million an episode.
Oh, well, that is definitely not happening. This is season one. And who knows? Like, it might be season one. We'll never hear from it again. Or, you know, they get a line at Target one day.
Oh, my goodness.
Lunchbox is jealous.
Eddie thinks $1 million an episode is not enough.
No, I wasn't seeing like that much. Man.
I was about to say $1 million. Now that's what I'm talking about, Bones. That's good money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you envious at all? Jealous at all, Amy?
You should be.
I am not. No, not at all. Like, I am just so excited for them. Like, no. And it's so random. People that have known us our whole lives, like, they were, you know, family and friends that reached out. They're just like, wait a second, what? Like, one daughter is in radio. One daughter is now going to be on TV. And like, nobody, we're not a family that set out for, you know, being public with things or anything like that. And I mean, my sister, even when I first joined the Bobby Bone Show, like 15 years ago, I just remember because we were in Austin and we would do segments where you would have like my mom and my sister come up, like maybe like Family Feud or something. And my sister would step up to the mic and like she would do okay because she's good, but then underneath her skin, like she had splotches in her chest, like she was freaking out. And that's kind of what happened to her on the show. Like she did great, but on like she's icing her back every night because she's so stressed out. She's like on Xanax trying to get through the day. So
sounds worth it.
No, it is, but it's just not something that our family is. It's not like she's like, oh, I want to be on TV. She's just rolling with it, seeing where life takes her, and having a good time while she's at it.
Wow. I wish I could do that. Yeah. It's the opposite of what I do. Yeah. I don't roll with crap.
Well, because it's different. Yeah. If you don't end up being on radio or TV, like that's your career. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like
I throw myself off a cliff. Yeah.
My sister could kind of take it or leave it. Like, okay, this is fun, but if it doesn't work out, life will go on.
That's awesome. Yeah. By the way, it's called Building Roots, right?
Building Roots. Yes.
Building Roots on HGTV. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Love it. I do love it. All kidding aside, that's really cool for them. Let's see. I have one more thing. You watched King Richard, the Williams sister movie with Will Smith?
Yes. Everybody stop what you're doing after you stop listening to us and watch King Richard. It's in theaters, or if you have HBO Max, you can watch it there. That's where I watched it. And I mean, you know, talk about a crazy story. I mean, I knew they faced some adversity. I just didn't know their full background. And they straight up, like, they born and raised in Compton. Their dad was taking them to the quote-unquote country club, which was the Compton tennis courts, basketball courts. Like, it was, they faced, people, they'd be trying to play tennis and kids from the neighborhood would roll up in their cars and like threaten to shoot them. Like it was just weird stuff. But their dad, what's really cool is you got to watch it, but he had this whole plan. I know I don't want to give away everything, but because it's so good.
Did they get good at tennis? Don't spoil it. Did they get good or no?
Are we going to learn who they are?
That's what kept me going. There was times where I was so nervous about what was going to happen, especially at the Compton courts, because I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to get shot? But then I knew that Venus and Serena world famous tennis players and super successful. But he did it. Like, he knew that's what he wanted, and he built this plan. He had like an 84-page, you know, document that he put together about his plan to get them famous, and he did it, and it's crazy.
So it's worth it. What do you rate it?
Oh, as a former tennis player, okay, I might be rating it a little higher because I feel connected to the story, but 4.5 tennis balls out of 5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to wrap us up.
Andy Roddick gets a shout out.
Okay. He does? Yeah,
he does. Because when they go down to the coach in Florida, the coach is showing other kids that are training there. And I guess Andy's brother, I don't know his name.
Mm-hmm. He was the one they thought was going to be good.
Yeah. He's the one. Mm-hmm. He's on the court. So the tennis coach is like, that's John Roddick. He's amazing. Da, da, da. He's like, but apparently his brother Andy's coming up. And like, then they mention, it's like foreshadowing for Andy. I mean, that's the only time he gets mentioned. But it's like, oh, wow. I didn't realize Andy's brother was the first star.
Ooh, I wonder if they do a spinoff and they do Andy's story if I'll be in it.
Nice.
Maybe. King
Bobby. Will play me. I wonder who the, who will play me when Andy's at my wedding. All right, that's it for today. I know it's not a long post show, but give me a break. We're good. Everybody good?
Good.
Good.
All right. Thank you, guys.